Madam, you may vote, but at a price. You lose the right to retreat behind the powder puff or your petticoat.
And that's from Inherit the Wind. That is Spencer Tracy, a phenomenal movie. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. And that idea that, madam, you have the right to vote, but now that you have that right, you also bear the responsibility for your life. You bear the responsibility of being an informed voter. You bear the responsibility of basically being an adult. And how many times have any of us caught ourselves in moments when we want the rights to something, and yet we kind of don't want to take the responsibility for it? If you think of yourself as a teenager, you might want the rights to have all the freedom and independence. And yet if you reflect back on your teenage years, you may think, oh my gosh, did I really think clearly? Did I do what was right for myself longer range? And of course, if you made some mistakes, hopefully they're repairable. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. And that means that your life matters, your happiness matters. And happiness is an emotion. It's not just a random emotion. It's not just something you're born with. It's something that you need to know how to achieve. And most people don't know that it's even something that they need to achieve. They think that it either happens or doesn't. You don't want to do that to your own mind. You want to understand your emotions. And I'm a clinical psychologist, and I'm here to take your calls and questions. And somebody has called saying that they have a question about their emotions. So right now I want to welcome Lisa to the show. Lisa, you want to know if your emotions are normal?
No. I've been seeing a psychologist for years. And he's helped me a lot, but I told him I don't feel much emotion.
Oh,
case
okay.
Case in point, my son has brain cancer. When I found out, I felt nothing. Now, I know I'm having this problem. He says I do because he sees the expressions on my face. When somebody tells you your son has brain cancer, you would feel that. I don't know what to do.
Okay. When did you find out?
Daddy had brain cancer?
Yeah.
For 5 years then.
Okay. So sorry to hear that. How old is he?
Well, he's 30, but his last 7 MRIs have been amazing. He's doing very, very
well. Oh, he's doing well.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we have a friend that had brain surgery. She had a problem too, and as far as I know, she's doing fairly well. So
yeah.
I hope that's
well,
that,
so far.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah, I know there are no guarantees, unfortunately, huh?
No.
But so you need to, what I'm hearing is that you want to understand yourself better. You want more clarity on why am I not feeling emotion? What emotion
right.
are you, yeah, go ahead. Tell me what you
no,
were thinking.
No, I'm just listening. Go ahead.
Oh, so what emotion would you anticipate that you should feel or ought to feel in that
well,
type?
Well, I mean, somebody says if your son has brain cancer, you should be devastated. You know, I felt nothing.
Okay, so what's one possibility that you've looked at? Why might you not be devastated?
Well, I was emotionally abused. I'm sure that has something to do with it, right?
Okay, what's the connection you're making?
What do you mean, the connection?
It sounds like you're making a connection that because you were emotionally abused, you managed your mind a certain way.
What I've managed to do is stuff my emotions.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So as a protective device as a kid, you learn to stuff your emotion or whatever whenever the abuse happened. And that's a normal response. It's not a healthy response because the abuse isn't healthy, but it certainly is a life-preserving response in that context. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, what can you do if you have no choice, if you're being physically or sexually or whatever it is, emotionally abused? Some people just deaden the emotions. They just want to turn off their whole emotional. They don't want to feel the pain.
How do I learn to feel again?
Okay. Well, there's your motivation. If you said you love this, don't take it away from me. I love having a deadened emotional.
No. I want to feel.
The fact that you want to feel is an emotion itself, isn't it? You have a hunger. You have a desire.
Absolutely, I do.
So be aware that the strong, that is a very important movement forward for you. If you make yourself, if you allow yourself to be aware of it, that you have the desire to open up and allow yourself to feel. Now, remember, these were your instructions to your subconscious that none of us are aware of it as a kid. I mean, I told myself I'd never trust my own mind as a kid. I actually remember saying that, and boy, I felt really insecure for many years until I was able to confront that and say, well, I could trust it a little bit. Maybe you can use that a little bit. Those words a little bit are very liberating.
Say that again. What word should I use?
A little bit. I'll let myself feel a little bit. I'll let myself trust my mind a little bit. That was in my case. But in your case, if you allow yourself, instead of telling your subconscious, hey, honey, you have to feel everything, all that raw pain, all that raw emotion, you could experience something, and you may anyway, called flooding. When you've told yourself for years, don't feel. People who have post-traumatic stress disorder, they might come back from a war and they don't want to go through the pain anymore. They might give themselves the just the passing thought, but they don't realize it's a standing order in their mind. Don't feel. Don't go there anymore. And then their kids can't relate to them anymore because they're not allowing themselves to feel. It's like, you know, if you're in a hospital and you're on a heart monitor and suddenly the monitor goes flat, what does that mean? You're dead, right?
I should just say what should I say?
Well, one of the things, I'm glad you're in therapy because you can do this much better to do this with a therapist. Because if I suddenly told myself, Ellen, it's okay to feel a little bit, and let me think about something that matters a little bit. What's important in my life? My son's important. Honey, you need to be able to process the grief, the potential grief, and then it settles more in your mind, because if your son does really well, you can celebrate the joy too.
Well, I never did have any grief. Like I told you, I never felt
right
anything.
Because what you're saying is that you have a policy that you just shut down.
Well, not
go
consciously.
Ahead. No, but you're making it more conscious now by talking about it, right? You're the one that told me that you shut down. You shut down with the abuse. Mm-hmm. And so you could work with your psychologist to see any connections. Now, it's not that you want to dig into your past and feel all the pain again. You might need to do a little work just to liberate yourself, though. And a good psychologist would not immerse you in the past, but help you understand it and release some of those emotions and let you express what you really wanted to express towards the abuser. So that you could have a voice again within your own mind, and so that you could experience emotions and not be flatline emotionally, not be psychologically numbed. You know, you don't want to be anesthetized for your whole life. That's not a great coping strategy.
You know, I think I told you, I've been with my psychologist for 5 years, and we've been worked on everything, including this.
Yeah.
I tell him I don't have emotions. He says I do.
Everybody does. Everybody has.
But not the kind of. And I told him I said.
You're not experiencing them, but you have the capacity for emotions. That's what you have.
Okay.
And emotions are response to things you value or don't. I recently went into a place where it smelled like the septic tank had back. It was actually a drugstore, and it was so stinky in there. Boy, did I have an emotion. It was, ew. I mean, it was like a whole physiological reaction. Or you could go into a perfume factory and say, oh my God, this smells lovely, or a florist or something. So you want to notice even on the small things, become more aware of when you have a gut response to something you like or don't like, because that's your emotional mechanisms coming back online. Be aware that if you have been through abuse, it's so good to be with a psychologist when you start to de-repress. That means, like, because the psychologist, you might go through what is very normal, which is called a period of flooding, where you start to let the emotions come back in, and that scares people, and they go back to their old strategy of shutting down.
Well, you know what he tells me this all the time. Whenever I talk to you about emotions, he said you'll, you know, say some, you know, just deviate and just go into something else. So he said, you're afraid of your emotions. So
yeah, you don't want to be afraid of them. You want to be able to value your emotions. Sometimes watching a very good movie can help. You know, I recommend movies like Chocolat or something, just something that you can enjoy. So listen, I know we need to wrap it up. I wish you the best. Emotions are the stuff of life, the good emotions and the bad. Learning how to read them is great. You can go to my website, drkenner.com, drkenner.com. Look up my review of the book, Mind Over Mood, and I think that will help you a bit.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Lisa.
All right.
Bye-bye. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and my show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. I'm a clinical psychologist, and you can visit my website, too, drkenner.com. You can call me toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER.
I need to feel important. Instead, I'm living in the shadows of her life. Her family and friends are everything. I feel invisible.
I thought my husband's love would be enough to help him get over my affairs. Why can't he just forgive and forget? What does he think he is? Perfect? He's so selfish.
How many lose themselves in a romantic relationship, feeling unimportant, taken for granted? Or perhaps they lie or cheat and think their partner should forgive and forget? I am Dr. Ellen Kenner, clinical psychologist and co-author with Dr. Edwin Locke of the romance guidebook, The Selfish Path to Romance. Provocative title? I know. By selfish, we mean the self-valuing, self-nurturing way to romance. You never want to lose yourself in a relationship. You want to create a win-win partnership to value your own and each other's goals and dreams. Discovering how to be true to yourself in a romantic partnership is learnable and key to romantic happiness. Check out our book with its daring title, The Selfish Path to Romance, at Amazon or selfishromance.com.